All right, as we get started tonight and continue on with our study on leadership, I want to say real quickly, you can go ahead and turn to Romans 16, but I think you've got everything in front of you, so that's the first passage of Scripture we'll go to. But I want to say again quickly, thank you. I don't know about you folks, but it seems like we've been here longer than 2 months. I mean, it's 2 months and 7 days tonight. And it seems like it's been longer, not because it's been hard and it seems like it's been forever. It's just that we're beginning to meet people, know names, getting together. And no more do we feel like the visitors, but we feel like the family. And that's always good to see that. Thank you for those who have jumped in and pitched in with tasks and assignments and things that were going on. And then for those that may not have noticed, let me give you an illustration. Can you see me better now? Hey, doesn't that look great? Now, it's still loose. We're still working on it, but it'll be ready for Sunday. But what a blessing it is. So, and I know at one time, if you sat in the front, it kind of looked like this if you're on the front row. So that's a blessing to cut some of that off. We'll attach that back, I think you won't even be able to tell other than you can see, good or bad, you're going to see more of me when I'm standing up here. But those are folks who just pitched in and helped from that project, other projects. So much going around. Those have come out during the week and have helped with weeding and doing other things. And for laughing at me about my weed jokes, thank you. I got to stop here. Would you believe that during the week, since I've said that twice, I've got text messages of pictures of a store outside that says Harvest Weed? Yes. Yes. Giving your preacher a hard time. But that was all in jest and fun. I laughed and I actually forwarded it on to somebody else. Yes, weeding party. But thank you for those that came out and did a lot of work. We got some more things going on tomorrow. And we'll at least have all the weeds gone, torched or something, around the church as you drive in. And then we'll eventually get more in the fields and to get that under control. And when that pit gets dried up, we'll be able to do some more. Brother John. Yes, the fence. How many of y'all noticed the metal fence is not there anymore? Yeah. So we got a little bit of torch stain on there where it had to be cut off, but we're going to work on getting that cleaned off as well. I don't want to paint it, because if you paint it for the rest of your life, you're going to be doing what? Painting it again. So I think it looks nice. We'll just get some of those places sanded off or brushed off, but I think it looks better. We left more toward the rear because there's fences and other things. There's ladders and other things hanging on it, but this part is cleared, and so things are looking nice, and we'll continue to work in that area. All right. Yes, thank you for those that came out for the blood drive. I think we came very close if we didn't exceed their goal. So we have many of our folks that come as well as outsiders came in. I got a chance to talk to a few people. Who knows? Somebody may have come and saw Harvest Baptist Church, went home and got one of those flyers in the mail. Hey, I was there this week. Yeah, so who knows how the Lord will use that. But we did get a chance to meet some other people, introduce myself as a pastor, thanking them for coming out. And so hopefully we'll even see some results of that. But thank you for those who are able to come and able to give, and even those who weren't, those who are able to come and join us in our coffee fellowship. All right, general qualifications of a deacon. And we'll go through these kind of quickly, and that's why I got the references for you, so we don't have to turn so quickly. I'll make a few comments as we go. First of all, notice in reference to general qualifications, sound in doctrine. It's very important. We talked about that the last week, about being on the same page. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Titus 2, 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And so it's very important that those who work in leadership, part of our church, from the pastor to the deacons, that they are sound in doctrine, that they agree with our doctrinal statements. Letter B, faithful in the service and attendance. Now, I realize that we all get providentially hindered at times. And I know as we age, we can't go as much as we would like to. But I'm referring to the aspect of being there when you can be there. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. But we are, a good deacon will not only be sound in doctrine, but they'll be faithful in attendance and the activities and things we have in the church. Being here shows your support, shows your involvement, shows that you're behind the preacher, you're behind what's going on. And then letter C, pure and holy in life. Now they need to have the right testimony, not just in the congregation, but outside. We talked about that with the pastor as well. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no one, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So we use that aspect of 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands on no man suddenly is getting the aspect of knowing that they're sound in doctrine, knowing that they're faithful, and then that DIT program, D-I-T, that I was telling you about deacons in training. Have that aspect of knowing them and showing their faithfulness, showing their agreement with doctrine, living a holy life. 1 Peter 1:15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We are Christians. We are little Christ. We are to be Christ-like, and that holiness should go out among our lifestyle and the way we live. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So our deacons should be sound in doctrine, faithful in service, and pure and holy in life. In other words, if you went to visit a deacon in our church, and someone outside was in the yard and waved and you greeted them and said hello, and you made comment you were coming by to see the deacon, they shouldn't feel like, what, he's a deacon? In other words, a good testimony. He's known, well-loved, and beloved by his neighbors. People can respect you and even sometimes not really appreciate you, but still respect your testimony, respect your consistency in how you live and present yourself. Letter D, consistent in daily living. Kind of a crossover here, but it goes together. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just man weighs his delight, is his delights. Consistent in daily living. Nobody knows you, gentlemen. Nobody knows you better than your wife. How many would agree with me often, if not every time, that my wife can finish my sentence? Yeah, and vice versa. We've lived together for some time. You get to know each other well. You know your thoughts. You know the intents. But our community, not just our church family, but those without, should also know and anticipate of what they think we may say or not say or walk away. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Again, that aspect of servanthood, doing things for the glory of God. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's good for any Christian. Spending time with the Lord, let him rub off on you. And a deacon, as well as a pastor, and as Christians in general, we should be spending time with God, walking in the Spirit, so we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 and 7. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he hath received us. For yourselves know how, as should be how, not haul, ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Again, that aspect with we as generals Christians, especially as deacons, we need to be sound in doctrine, faithful in our service, pure in our holy and holy in life, but consistent in our daily living. Our neighbors, given time, should know something about us, should know who we are and know who we are in Christ. Michelle and I are beginning to meet some of our neighbors and getting to know them. Right now, many of them know us as the Tennessee fan. If you not notice not, I took the orange off, put black on my watch. Said I'm getting a little bit closer to being Arizonian. But they know something, and I wear my hoodie a lot, but oftentimes it strikes up a conversation that I always want to move into the things of the Lord, the church, and things like that. And we want men and folks in our church representing the Lord well and spoken of well in the community. Letter E, committed to the church's philosophy of ministry. Also very important that we're on the same page moving together, not just in doctrine, but the philosophy of ministry. Psalm 133, verse 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, and we used this verse this past week, even upon Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew of the descended upon the mountains of Zion. For therefore the Lord commanded the blessings, even life evermore. That emphasis there, it is for brethren to dwell together. It's going to be hard for us to dwell and labor together if we're on a different page going in a different direction. Working in church and philosophy of ministry, if we're not going this direction together the same way, it's a tug of war. And we're going back and forth. And I'm grateful so far to my knowledge with the men that I've talked to, not only our deacons, our trustees, but men in the church that I've spent time with. Everyone seems to be excited. Has that excitement in the air that's still lingering on from the day we were voted in and carrying forward folks coming in, folks coming back, reaching out, starting Sunday school again, starting children's ministries, had aspect of reaching out and reaching others and bringing them in. We're not bringing people in because of numbers, as I mentioned. The philosophy is people that are here hear the gospel. And if people respond to the gospel and get saved, then we disciple them and encourage them in being faithful. And that's why we have ladies' discipleship tomorrow. And I've been working the best I can with Brother Dalney as he travels. He's got a discipleship book. And Lord willing, later we'll do the same thing or something similar with the men. But being on the same page, moving together. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Amos 3:3, we use this also in previous weeks. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And that's why how the Lord has set up the church. He set up leadership from pastors and deacons to congregation, and it flows both ways, but it's working together. It's striving together and reaching others for Christ, having the same philosophy, moving together. Will we need to adjust our philosophy on occasion? May we need to adjust some things as our culture and world changes? We may need to, but we're never going to do it in crossing Scripture or the Word of God. Right now, things are different. I'll just quickly, then I'll move on. I think I may have said this before. Sometimes I forget, but there's no real big reason why I come down here on Wednesday nights. There's a couple because to me it's a little more intimate. But I also have a hard time going up there if I don't have a tie on. I don't think it's wrong. It's been demonstrated and lived out in my life from my youth. When I was going up, when I played baseball, boy, my dad said, boy, tuck that shirt in. Pull up those socks. I mean, I was given guidelines to go by. So is there any scripture I'm going to say that you shouldn't walk or be on the platform without a coat and tie? No. We know Jesus didn't wear a coat and tie, did he? But I think that I need to dress appropriately. I think as pastor, there's some things that I should do in leadership as well that we should do. I'm visiting a college tomorrow over in Chandler, International Bible College and Seminary. I'm going to see the school, have lunch. Brother Cleto took courses from there himself, and finding out about some possible student internships down the road. They need an opportunity to learn. I would love to mentor some young preachers and help them in ministry that will go on later when they graduate to minister and to give back. But I asked a question to one of the gentlemen who called me and invited me. What is the dress standard that the students have to abide by? I want to do the same as a guest. And he said, it's business casual for the day that you're coming. And so I thought I'd wear a pullover shirt, really nice polo, and dress pants. And Michelle said, no, you're going to wear a pair of dress pants and a long sleeve shirt, nice shirt. She's protecting me, and I agreed with her as a pastor. In other words, a little bit higher, if what the students require this, then I may need to go a little higher. I heard an old saying is that many people are offended by a lower standard, but few are offended by a higher standard. And I think we should try to do the best we can in setting the example. And that comes with the philosophy of our ministry and how we represent ourselves and the church. Because when I go to the college, I'm not just Pastor Doug Cook. I'm also representing Harvest as your pastor. Number two, we've looked at quickly on the general qualifications. Now, a little more specific qualifications. Again, back as we read before, let's go ahead and look at 1 Timothy 3:8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued. And we'll break this down a little more. But notice that, likewise, just like the bishop, just like the pastor, there's some crossover with pastoral leadership and with those that are deacons. Likewise, must the deacons be grave. Letter A is grave. Likewise, must the deacons be grave. In other words, they're to be serious-minded, honorable, dignified, and steady. Now, do I think they need to be that way every day? Of course not. I do not go to bed with a coat and tie as my pajamas. It is in general when we're dealing with the things of God. There's nothing wrong with having a sense of humor. There's nothing wrong with cutting up and having fun. But about spiritual things, we're to be grave. A man who inspires respect by his conduct. In other words, there are solid individuals. They strive to honor the Lord by honoring their pastor, their church, and also their community. They're to be grave. A letter B, not double-tongued, there again in verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued. In other words, one who thinks one thing but says another, or says different things to different people. He does not talk out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. He's consistent in what he says. He is not, again, saying one thing to please this crowd, another thing to please another crowd. He is not guilty of lying, in reference to not double-tongued, of a false witness. He's not involved in gossip or sowing discord. In other words, deceitfulness is a horrible sin. And we need to guard against that in our leadership, as well as pastor staff, and our deacons. They are to be grave. They are not to be double-tongued. Letter C. And I will not spend a lot of time here. We'll move on. We can talk some more about this later. There's two things we'll talk about more in depth in coming weeks. Not given to much wine. How much is too much? Read your Bible. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. In other words, must not be given over to wine. Must be a pattern of temperance. Biblical wisdom teaches total abstinence from all alcoholic beverages. That's my view, and my view as a pastor. I'll say this and I'll move on. Have I ever taken medication that had alcohol in it? Yes, if you've ever taken a cough medicine, you're my age, you have too. Okay? But what I'm referring to, I want to be very careful. My body is the temple. If there's no other reason that I do not want to partake or even have a little wine or something else, not other than medicinal purposes, is I would never want to have a glass of wine, pop a top on a bottle, a can of beer, and then get a phone call from one of my members. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not safe for me to drive. Hello? I mean, there's more biblical reasons, but that's a common sense reason. In other words, as well, we are priests, and the Old Testament likened those things, and priests were to refrain from those things. And I think it's best to refrain, and that is my view and my position as pastor. Proverbs 20 and verse 1, wine is a mockery, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, again, full transparency, I'll tell you, I have taken cough medicine and still do that might have something that's fermented in it. I've taken cough medicine from my doctor that had codeine in it, but it was for medicinal purpose prescribed. Let's move on. Proverbs 23 and verse number 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it is given its color in the cup, when it's moved itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Letter D. not greedy of filthy lucre. Again, that's one of those likewise, also refers to the pastor, also refers to these men in leadership. Verse number 8, once again, likewise the deacons must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. See, when lucre is sought on occasion where none is due, it is considered filthy. Now, I realize that a pastor needs to get paid. He needs to be able to be, take care of his family. And there's churches that have means and able to do that. And there are some churches right now that are advertising for a bivocational pastor because they can't afford to support him fully. But here at the same time with deacons, they are not to serve in anticipation of not only money but other monetary things to receive in return. They're able to serve without being recognized for it. In other words, they have a servant's heart, a desire to serve, not to serve in order to get. When lucre is a price of doing wrong, it is filthy. Can't be bought should be the approach of the pastor, but as well as the deacon. Free from the sin of covetousness. There's nothing wrong with having things as long as the things don't have you. There's a huge difference. Many folks have the means and they have things. I don't begrudge anyone. Michelle and I are blessed through the years, and for me to stand here and try to justify, explain, all thing I can say is God is good. We are debt-free except for our home. And my heart's desire is to stay that way and not purchase and do other things until we can afford to pay cash. Sometimes things come up, but we're grateful how the Lord has blessed. And I believe with all of my heart is because the aspect of stewardship and God entrusting me and allowing me to provide and just allowing and providing things for me. And the same things likewise must the deacons. So we'll stop here for tonight. And next week we'll continue with the aspect of specific qualifications. As we looked at tonight, some of the general qualifications, specific qualifications, and my notes there are wrong. I copied and pasted the wrong one. It's not the same thing over again. So if you haven't figured it out yet, I do make mistakes. See what I did? I copied and pasted the same thing over again, but it will be something different. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll ask Brother Darrell to come, and we'll step into just kind of a brief business meeting with a financial report and a budget to present. Thank you for your time. Father, again, we love you, and thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your goodness to us. And now, Father, I pray as your word says that things are to be done in decency and order. I pray that you'd help us to keep that in mind as we move forward. Father, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here to serve as the pastor of the people of the Harvest Baptist Church of Goodyear. I thank you for the love and kindness that has been displayed toward Michelle and I. And Lord, I hope and I really feel that they feel that we have returned that as well into them. And now, Father, as we have met with the deacons and the trustees have looked and we've looked and done the best we can with the numbers that we've had to put together a budget, we pray that it will be received well as we go forward. And Lord, in knowing that it will be reviewed every 90 days and adjusted as needed, but there will always be, as long as I'm here as pastor, there will always be a quarterly financial report and the finances available for those and questions asked as they need to and as they're asked by our members. Father, thank you for them. Thank you for their faithfulness to give. And now, Father, bless this next stage as we step into. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Darrell.